Psalm 102. Now, this starts out not with noting that it's a psalm or a song or a hymn, but it is a prayer. It is a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before Jehovah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. They who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nation shall fear the name of Jehovah, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Well, as noted here, this is a prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. You know, I don't really know, and I think I've remarked about this before, of any hymn that has this sort of theme. I don't know of anything of the sort. But God, because he's not only made the Psalms for his praise, and they're infallible that way, of course, but they are made for our expression. One human heart cannot delve to the depths of another heart, but the Creator can. The Creator can. We can be honest before him in our afflictions and in our griefs. We can be honest before him in our troubles. And God has moved this psalmist, whoever it is, to do just that. When you are in affliction, when you are in trouble, when things seem, and maybe are, humanly speaking, overwhelming to you, this is a good psalm to go to. It deals with all kinds of trouble. It's suited for all sorts of affliction, whether it be problems of loneliness, whether it be problems of illness, whether it be problems of finances, or whether it be problems with people persecuting you and lying about you and seeking your death. All that's covered here in the first 11 verses. The imagery is quite striking to me, and maybe it is to you, and I thought how interesting it is there in verses 5 through 7, the psalmist, whoever it is, is using these images of three kinds of different birds. We've got a pelican out in the wilderness, and normally we don't think of a pelican in the wilderness. He's totally out of place because he belongs in the seashore, not up in the mountains or out in the desert. Or we think of we have an owl of the desert, and there are a few of those. At least here in America, there's one called a burrowing owl. They tend to like to live in sandy areas and such, but normally we don't think of owls there. And then a little sparrow, all by itself, just nervously or sadly cheeping and chipping away there. This is quite a vivid illustration of some of the afflictions that perhaps the psalmist had and perhaps we have as we turn to it. But the psalmist does not end there. In fact, in every psalm, there is some hope. Sometimes it's pretty veiled. Sometimes it's rather hard to see, as in Psalm 88, that we saw weeks and weeks ago when we were looking at Psalm 88, that even there, the psalmist does not yield to despair. He is going to Jehovah in his complaint and in his difficulty. And that shows that there is not despair. Great affliction, yes, and he has a hard time even looking to promises. It ends not on a happy note, but the very fact is that he continues to look to Jehovah, even though things are still looking quite dark. Well, the psalmist here is, by God's grace, enabled to go beyond, because he stops looking at his affliction and looks to the God of the covenant. He looks to Jehovah, the one who saves, the one who remains faithful to his covenant. And the break there is between verses 11 and 12. And there it is, the psalmist is looking to the faithfulness, the power, the glory of God, and how he works in general for his people. And because of that, he has faith and trust in this God to help him in whatever these afflictions are. Well, when he's done doing that, he kind of makes application of it. And the break there is between verses 22 and 23. And so he talks about then his situation again, but looking at it in the light of these promises. And so though he says that God weakened and shortened, and there we have it in the past tense, he talks about the fact that he prayed then to God in the light of God's nature and God's doings, and that we saw there in verses 12 through 22. And so in this prayer, he looks in faith and comes to triumph, trusting that God will indeed work for him through and get him through these different afflictions. This psalm is applicable to all of us. We all have these sorts of afflictions. And perhaps you have found yourself humming our own version of this. I know one of you for whom this was a frequently turned to psalm at one time. In any case, the very fact that we have this given to us, the very fact that we are able to use this is a testimony to another greater fact, that there is one who went through affliction to a far greater degree than we, who is far more profoundly abandoned than we, and not for his own sin, not for his own iniquity, not for his own guilt, but for the sake of his people. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who went through far greater affliction. Yes, tasting, not merely tasting, swallowing whole, we might say, the wrath and curse of his Father that you were due, believer. He received it all, and he was cut off entirely, so that again, he, from the cross, quoted from Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did not have covenant promises to cling to. All he had were covenant curses, but he took them entirely and endured the punishments of the covenant of works in order that he might establish the covenant of grace. He is the one who is, as the author of the Hebrews says, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who made it. He is the one who finished it. And he did that going through a deeper, wider, higher affliction than ever we shall experience, than ever we would be able, ever throughout eternity, be able to endure. He did that so that we would have his Father as our Father, and the triune God as our Jehovah, our covenant God, our God who saves. Well, we'll sing from a portion of Psalm 102 today, that first portion there. And perhaps you in your affliction now, or maybe you're feeling pretty good at the moment, God does give us not only the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't only give us fights with Apollyon. He gives us delectable meadows. He gives us delectable mountains, pardon me, and he gives us plains of ease. He gives us lands of Bethel. Well, let us, in good times or bad times, be looking to him, because whether we have good times, they shall be but until our final going over the river. These good times shall be succeeded by other difficulty. Difficulty, on the other hand, shall pass. Let's sing from Psalm 102 using portion A.